Hi everyone, I'm Daniela and you're listening to the Mellow Moment Pet Health Podcast.
One, two, three, four.
In today's episode, I talked to Jessica Williams, a pet-focused content strategist and blogging coach, about dachshund health. If you want to dive into dachshund tips, even if you don't have one, listen to Jessica's discussion about stereotypes, health concerns, and even hiking tips for dogs of all sizes. Hey everyone, I'm Daniela from Mella Pet Care, and today I'm joined by Jessica Williams, and she is known as the dachshund lady who lives, breathes everything dachshund. She hikes and even camps with them, and she blogs about them. So she does absolutely everything that you could ask for about the dachshund breed, and I'm so excited to have her on today. So Jessica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And so to start off, would you maybe like to give a little bit of personal background and specifically just a little bit about how you came to fall in love with this dachshund breed?
Yeah. Well, there's so much to tell and you can read about some of it on my blog. but basically I inherited a dachshund from my roommate, and we lived together. So I wanted a big dog. Like I was set on it, but I was just graduating college and I hadn't been in any position to get one. So anyway, she got a dachshund, had to go out of town for work. I became permanent dachshund nanny. And I like to travel. And so I had to take him everywhere with me. And I just fell in love and decided that small dogs are actually great adventure companions and much more convenient than bigger dogs. And it kind of just sent me down a rabbit hole. Eventually, we kind of moved apart, different circumstances, and I ended up keeping him. And so I thought, well, if he's going to be mine, I better learn about this breed. Right. Because I had studied a lot about the breed that I wanted, a lot of breeds, and I hadn't even really looked at small dogs. So that just started me on the journey.
Yeah, no, that's so fantastic. And I love that. I mean, you're totally right. You know, when you get a new dog, you have to do the research about that breed because one is so different and they have their own personalities. And so if you were looking at some other dog, a bigger dog, and suddenly you get a dachshund, you're like, whoa, what is this? What's going on there? So then kind of along those lines, what do you feel are some stereotypes about small dogs that you either found out to not be true, just either through the dachshund or through your own research?
Well, you know, I grew up in an era, I guess you would say, and a neighborhood where I only have a few memories of small dogs, and it wasn't favorable. Like the people that owned them or the people who maybe lived next door were like, oh, that little dog. I just got the sense that they're wasn't a lot of value in a small dog. Like it maybe wasn't a real dog or it was an annoyance or something. And I never harbored any ill feelings against a small dog. It's just, I wanted a dog to be a hiking and adventure companion. So small dogs didn't even cross my mind when I was researching what kind of dog to get. It wasn't that I had any animosity, but so it's pretty typical still even today, things that I grew up with back then, you know, there's no value. They're not real dogs. Like they just, you know, no value as far as they can't protect you and they can't adventure with you. And, you know, they're not physically capable. They're kind of just there, you know? And I think that's what a lot of people think, but then there was me who kind of remembered that, but also wanted a dog to adventure with me. And now was, I don't want to use the word stuck, but at the time it was just kind of like, well, okay, I guess you're my dog that's going to adventure with me. Like by then when I was adult and all this happened, I didn't even really remember that people didn't think small dogs could hike and do stuff like that. So I just off we went.
No, that's so funny. And you're right about kind of the stereotype too, where the smaller dogs are the yappy dogs. They're the ones that you hear late at night. Whereas, you do see people hiking and running and doing all these fun things with the bigger dogs. And maybe, you kind of look at that and you go, I want that. I want the bigger dog. I don't want the little yappy dog. But, obviously you did fall in love with the dachshund breed, which is awesome. And so then what do you really think is the best part about having maybe a smaller pet to both travel and hike and just be your adventure partner?
Yeah, I can't think of a whole lot of negatives, to be honest. Different breeds of dogs, whether they be big or small, are capable, physically capable of different things, but dachshunds were bred for hunting. And the thing that I like about small dogs and traveling and adventuring is I have a rooftop tent. I can carry them in the rooftop tent. People with big dogs say they can't sleep with them or it's a hassle to get them up there. They're easier to take in hotels. You can fly with them on the airplane in cabin where it's safer and you can keep an eye on them. Little dogs get surprisingly dirty, but there's less surface area, I guess I would say. So they get surprisingly dirty because they're low to the ground, but they don't get your house or your car or whatever maybe is dirty after your hikes. And one of the biggest things for me that I always talk about is if there's an emergency on the trail and my dog injures themselves, I can carry them out pretty much no problem. Whereas if you have a big dog, you've got a problem. Someone's got to stay the night, or you have to enlist people to help you in an awkward fashion carry a big dog out. Like there's all these things, So yeah, to me, there's not really any negatives of having adventuring with a small dog.
Oh, I think you're totally selling it. I think you're right. And I definitely on, social media and whether that's and also friends too, what you see is just maybe this really big regal dog like bouncing down the hike. But then yeah, what happens if they get injured and you have to carry them down? What happens if they don't fit on that roof tent? Then I think you're doing a great job of showing the positives of the small dog. But do you feel like you have to take maybe some extra precautions with the small dogs on the trail that maybe you wouldn't have to with bigger dogs?
The biggest one is being aware of wildlife. Like a big dog has a decent chance of fighting off a bear or a coyote or a something. Small dogs, pretty much no chance. Like are very, very slim. I mean, their defense is scaring the animal away. Like they can be loud, they can be, but oftentimes dachshunds are very brave, so they would run towards the animal and put themselves in harm's way, which I guess could be an advantage to the person, but I mean, I wouldn't see it as an advantage per se. That's the biggest thing. The one thing that's surprising, and this is just kind of anecdotal observations over, asking people over the years and my own experiences, is small dogs have surprisingly few issues with their feet when you're hiking over rocks and rough terrain and stuff, especially dachshunds, because they have fat feet for their size. So it really spreads out the surface area. And bigger dogs, compared to their weight, have little feet, which puts more pressure on their pads, and there's more likely to be an injury. So that's definitely an advantage, but a consideration. Like I said, also carrying them out in emergency. A lot of people, every dog, every person, when you go out and hike, needs. You can't just get off your couch and go hike 30 miles. There, you got to get in shape. You've got to practice for it. You got to start small, go big, I always say, which is ironic because I have a little dog, right? But dachshunds, both of my dachshunds have hiked, well, all three of them. I had the initial one have hiked 15, 16 miles in a day. That's about my limit. I'm actually hoping next summer to do an 18 to 20 mile hike with Summit because she's younger. And they've done backpacking trips where there's 5, 10, 10 to 12 mile days in a row, and they're fine. So they can handle that. But I've trained them. They've been hiking for a long time, and they didn't just get off the couch and do that. But people are often shocked to hear that, because one of the questions I get all the time is, "Oh, did you have to carry him up here?" And I actually have trouble keeping up with them a lot of the time. They're go, go, go when they hit the trail.
Yeah, no, and I bet that is kind of like, and that's what kind of a jab too. It's like, no, I didn't carry them. They did it all themselves. I trained them.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm an athlete, right? And I follow a training plan. And so mm-hmm. that always makes sense to me. You know, if you have an end goal in mind and you have a physical level that you are at right now, you follow this, right? You know what to do week one, week mm-hmm. two, week three, up until the event.
Right.
So how did then you train your dachshunds to kind of finally reach this 15-mile, 18-mile hike?
Very, very similar. So far, it's been more of a casual progression. So as you understand, you know, you're usually, well, at least where we live, it's cold and there's snow and stuff. So you're less active during the winter, less physically active. So right. in some sense, you're starting over every spring.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting over building your fitness, but there's muscle memory, there's practice, there's, you know, so it kind of carries over from the year before. So you're not starting from 1 mile each spring, but every year it just, you know, progresses. We start out with shorter hikes and I try and maintain even through the winter, a 5 to 7 mile fitness level. So when in spring, we're starting with 5 to 7 miles and then we just increase from there. I mean, I don't want to go into big details of the training plan. I'm sure a lot of yourself and a lot of people who have trained for stuff understand, but it's just incremental. You do right. 5 and then the next week, your longest one might be 7. And then the one after that might be 8. And then, you know, you just keep making yeah. it longer and longer. Yeah. So to do though, the 18 mile, I'm going to have to really crack down during the winter and keep our base mileage to about 10 miles. So by fall, we can hopefully do 18 miles.
No, I find that just so fascinating. And I don't even know why I never thought about it because, you know, as somebody who does follow training plans all the time for different events, mm-hmm. of course, that's kind of similar for a pet, right. especially if you're bringing your pet along for your events.
Yeah.
You got to train them up too, same way you would have to train up your own fitness. Mm-hmm. So.
And it really is... I mean, my training is their training, but there's a saying, you know, hike your dog's hike. So even though our training often parallels, you know, as far as the steps and the progression,
right.
they're the limiter. I'm not the one that sets how far we go. So I kind of know what they're capable of. So we don't really run into any issues now, but, you know, if we're out for a hike and my goal is 8 miles that day and they're not feeling it, then we go home and try again, even though I could have kept going. You know, so you have to really know your dog and understand the progression maybe a little bit slower.
No, absolutely. You definitely don't want to force them to do more than they can. And mm-hmm. you don't want to tire them out, you know, same way that
right.
hiking with a dog is like really harmful to them. You don't really realize that, you know, you're having a great time. You haven't reached mm-hmm. your limit and, you know, they're pooped. And so you definitely want to be able to take care of them.
Yeah.
Kind of along those lines, I kind of want to do a little bit of a shift here from mm-hmm. this really fun kind of hiking and camping conversation to more of a like pet health related conversation. Uh-huh. And so what have you noticed are maybe like the top many or three health concerns for dachshunds?
So the number one is their back. So mm-hmm. they are notorious for having back issues. Often it occurs... It's called intervertebral disc disease, and it's related to the fact that they are a dwarf breed. So they don't have a long back. They have short legs because of the dwarf gene. The back is normal size, but this dwarfism gene, their scientists are trying to pinpoint exactly which gene it is, but they're close, but not quite there yet. So there's no real testing, but this dwarfism gene, can cause their back discs to age prematurely and rupture and cause paralysis. So, uh-huh. so that's a big issue. Cushing's is probably one of the second ones I see most with dachshunds. And then alopecia, baldness, color dilution alopecia, which occurs, it can occur in any dachshund, but is really prevalent in dachshunds that are dilute colors, which are the blue and the Isabella. So Isabella is diluted brown and blue is diluted black. Those are probably the top three dachshund health issues. And then maybe allergies that goes along with alopecia, because some dachshunds, you know, like I said, of any color and stuff have allergies, but the ones that are dilutes often have not just skin or hair loss, but skin allergies and dietary allergies.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I love that we're having this conversation, because even though, you know, I don't know how many listeners out there have a dachshund, it's just the fact that we're bringing attention to the fact that each breed has mm-hmm. their own health issues mm-hmm. and some things that you would never think of unless you do that research about your breed. Mm-hmm. So specifically with those health issues, do you find that any of those are unique to dachshunds as opposed to some that are common in other breeds? I don't really know the overlap here with other breeds.
Well, this would be the question I'm a little bit weak on, because I've only owned dachshunds.
Right, that's fair.
And I live and breathe everything dachshund.
You have a specialty.
Yeah, but I am aware, you know, I'm in the pet space. I am aware of other health concerns and what goes on. And I do know that, so there are actually a lot of breeds that have the back issues. Cocker Spaniels is one that comes to mind, Corgis. All the breeds that have a dwarfism gene, but it's just most common in dachshunds, about 25% have the back issues. And the other breeds, it's less. Frenchies, it's also very common. But it's probably only like 5 or 10%. 5 or 10% in those breeds. But in other breeds develop Cushing's, and you know, other breeds have allergies are very common. So I mean, I feel like they're unique to dachshunds just because I'm in that world, but they're really not. When I talk to other people and say, oh, it's so common in dachshunds to have, you know, this ailment or that ailment. And someone that's really immersed in the Boston Terrier world or something might say, oh, Boston Terriers too. And then I realize that it's not isolated to dachshunds for sure.
Right. But I mean, you definitely, I would say that you're an expert in dachshunds. So it definitely helps so much that you have such education and just like an understanding of the breed that a lot of people don't have.
Right.
And so as we kind of wrap up this conversation, I want to take another shift and talk a little bit about what you do specifically with the blog. And also I'd love to hear a little bit about how you organized an 800 member dachshund club, which I think is insane. And so, you know, how did that come about and where does that stand now? And then also, where do you see that in the future?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes you just start out with a crazy idea, you just get committed to it and put one foot in front of the other. And then 10 years from then, it's really turned into something. And and that's kind of how everything started. I started my blog because I wanted to learn how to use WordPress, but I didn't want to, I just wanted something fun. So I started my dachshund blog after I adopted my second dachshund and that she loved hiking, kind of prompted me to start it. And then a few months later, I thought, you know, I mean, my mission is to really help other small dog owners, but especially dachshunds or specifically dachshunds, to be more active, to show people that, you know, hey, they can come with you, they can travel with you, they can hike with you, they can walk long distances with you. So I went on meetup.com and I found a dachshund club and I did co-organize some events with them. And then I started my own and eventually our two groups merged. And it's almost 2,000 members now. Wow. And in the Washington area, you know, it started in Seattle and it grew to pretty much be all of Washington. And so we hold events and I, you know, I get a lot of requests for events. So we love birthday parties. We love Halloween parties. We love it, you know, and which is fun. And we do a socialization is definitely an aspect of what we do, but I really try and stay true to my mission that it's to get people and their dogs to be more active. So we do a lot of walks, dog park meetups, hikes, camping trips, things like that with the club.
That sounds like so much fun. I honestly, this podcast just makes me want to pick up everything, move to Seattle, get a dachshund, join your club, go on hiking and camping activities. I think that's just so great. And I love that mission. And I think honestly, that is just the perfect segue to our Mela signature question. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every guest has gotten to answer this question. And I think just because of your mission, your work, what you've done, and your absolute dedication and passion to animals in general, you know, even past just the dachshund breed, I think this will be a great question to answer. And so, what does pet health and wellness mean to you in today's day and age?
You know, it really, I sound like a broken record because I did listen to some of your previous podcasts, but it really is in this day and age, it's really comprehensive wellness, mental, physical, you know, enrichment, which goes with the mental. I think what we do with the hiking and camping and traveling, I think of that as enrichment. You know, some people use lick mats or treat toys, and we also use those. But just going and seeing different sights and smells and being exposed to different environments is enrichment. So it really is comprehensive. You're looking at your dog's health internally. You're looking at their physical fitness health, mm-hmm. and you're looking at their mental and emotional health. So you really have to take all those things into account. And, you know, some things like the hiking and camping satisfy multiple of those. But it, some are a little bit separate. Like obviously if I'm at home and we have, you know, we can come up with internal health issues that I have to pay attention to and realize, okay, now they can't go hiking because maybe they're not feeling well or something, you know, little things you deal with at home that are kind of separate from any kind of activity or adventure. But yeah, it really just is the whole picture. When I grew up, you know, it was, I think the primary goal was to keep your animal alive. And I think now the shift is keeping your pet healthy and happy and feeling breed appropriate, satisfied. So giving them things to do that match with what they were bred for, really for fulfillment.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great answer. I don't think you're a broken record at all because, you know, even most people who talk about enrichment do tend to talk about, yeah, things like you mentioned, like the lick mat or some toys. It's like, oh, look at this new innovation for the house, like a ball, right. Or, you know, a robot. But I think, you know, sometimes people do forget that there's a whole world out there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, taking your pet out there to explore is absolutely a form of enrichment. So that was a great answer.
Yeah, we had a situation on our last trip. We went for a week hiking and camping, and I had a hike planned for the day. Again, this falls in line with hiking your dog's hike. It was only about 70 degrees, but it's in the mountains. It was very exposed. We just hiked 9 miles the day before. One of my dachshunds is 12. Oh. But it ended up being too hot for the dogs. I could have done it. I could have tolerated it. It was a hike I really, really, really wanted to do. I've never done it. It's amazing. Like, you know, I was set on doing it, but as soon as I saw that they were too hot, I said, you know, we can't do this. So, but I had some time to kill between then and when we were meeting up with a friend. So it was a beautiful place, the scenery where we had parked. And so we just sat in the parking lot. I got out of the camp chair. You know, I made a little lunch. We enjoyed the view. But we sat there and watched the world go by. And so I worked on some place training and some relaxing around, you know, stimulus for the dogs. And even so, that was such an enriching day for them and such a productive day in regard to training and exposure and everything. But it certainly wasn't planned. And it's maybe, like you said, not traditional that people think of, you know, lick mat games, you know, obedience training. Specifically.
Right. But it's so important to listen to your dogs, you know? And so if they're done, they're done. And so I think that was, right. That was great. Yeah. And so as we wrap up this, unfortunately, very short episode, yeah. I know that every listener wants to keep up to date with what you're doing mm-hmm. and your blogs and everything that you're up to. And so how can they do that?
Yeah. So my blog is called You Did What With Your Wiener. So it's just youdidwhatwithyourwiener.com. Came about because people are always surprised when I told them that I took my dachshunds hiking and camping. So it was a very natural fit thing to name it. That's yeah. also the name of our Instagram account. And we have a Facebook page. Those are the ones we're most active on. If people do have dachshunds and they're interested in joining the club, you can search Facebook for the Adventure Wiener Club. You can also look on meetup.com. It's complicated and tricky because I started out in Seattle, grew to Washington, grew to the Pacific Northwest, and now I also have a national version of the club on Facebook. So Meetup is only for people in Washington. And then there's two Facebook groups. There's one Adventure Wiener Club, Seattle, Washington chapter, and Adventure Wiener Club of America. So obviously if you're not in Washington, you would join the other one. If you are in Washington, you can join both of them. But that's the best place to find us. We are on some other social media channels. We're trying to get into TikTok, but we're most active on Instagram and Facebook.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, then hopefully everybody goes and visits one of those pages, and hopefully we see you on TikTok very soon.
Yeah. We're okay. There. There's just very few videos.
Yeah. No, learning. Aren't we all like that? Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great chat.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you all for listening, and make sure to check out the show notes for all links to everything mentioned in this episode. Head over to www.mela.ai to learn more about what's happening over here at Mela Pet Care and for more ways to keep your pet healthy and happy. And finally, don't forget to check out the Mela Moment Pet Health Podcast on LinkedIn and Instagram.